The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the center and core of the whole Bible. It is the most important event to occur in all of human history. It is the center of our lives as Christians. Everything that we do in this church comes from the cross and resurrection. Its ramifications are cosmic and incomprehensible. It is an unfathomable sin that man hated the true Lord and tried to kill him. And it is truly awe-inspiring that that same death and resurrection of the Son of God is the salvation of mankind. What is fascinating about this event in John's Gospel is that all the people involved in this cosmic major event tend to talk around or speak indirectly about what's really going on. Not once does anyone come right out and say clearly, "This is Jesus, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, from Nazareth, and we are going to kill him." They know it, but they don't exactly say it. Yet some of their reactions do tell us what's really going on, because while people might be able to avoid saying something with their mouth, they cannot always control their actions. When Annas the high priest quizzes Jesus, he does so about his disciples and his doctrine. He wants to get bogged down in the details of the law, as the Pharisees are wont to do. But when Jesus simply says, "Nothing I've taught has been a secret. You've seen me in the temple, week in and week out," one of the guards strikes him. He is angry. And Annas sends him bound away. And how often today do we see the world angry with the very simple and very plain words of Scripture? They don't outright confess that they are angry with God. And they don't always say what's really going on in their hearts between them and Jesus, because on one hand they would say, "We don't even really believe in God to begin with." But you can see the irony there. If someone says they don't believe in God, but they get angry with his words, why? Why would it matter what a false God says? The truth of the matter is, they know the truth, just like that guard knew the truth about Jesus somewhere deep in his heart. And when they hear it, they are convicted. It's a spiritual problem. When Pilate quizzes Jesus, he wants to get down to the brass tacks about if Jesus is a Jew or a king or the king of the Jews, and why, if he is any of those things, why are his own people trying to crucify him, and why is the Roman government involved? But Jesus answers simply, "My kingdom is not of this world." And you can see by Pilate's attempt to release him and Pilate's worry about what's going to happen to him if he is responsible for crucifying this man, and how he tries to wash his hands of the iniquity, he knows deep down there's something different about this guy. He knows that Jesus is much greater than some Jewish political leader. But again, how often do we see our world pointing fingers at the church like Pilate does? Why don't all you guys just agree with one another? Why can't you handle your own problems yourself? How come Christians disagree with one another if they all believe the same Bible? Why are so many Christians hypocrites? But it's missing the point. Kind of like Pilate missed the point. The point is not whether or not Christians have their own problems in their own churches. The point is not whether or not any Christian has ever behaved publicly like a non-Christian. The point is, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that he died for you and forgave your sins and rose again to give you new life? That's what Pilate needed to know about. What about the crowds? When they shout, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him," you get the sense that for most there, they are probably, one, just going along with the crowd. They don't want to be the outcast who says that they don't think this should be going on. And for two, I think maybe more so, they just want it all to be over with. Jesus has caused so much disruption in their lives, for the better or for the worse. And they just think, okay, maybe if he's gone, we can go back to normal. Maybe if he's gone, we can go back to living lives the way that we always have. The list could go on. The soldiers talk about his clothes rather than talking about him. The priests, high priests there, they seem worried about their relationship with the Roman government more than their relationship about God. But at the end of the day, you must realize that everyone, from Annas to Pilate to the crowds to the high priests to the soldiers, everyone must have a deeper sense about what's going on. When the veil is torn in two and darkness falls over the face of the earth and the thunder claps and the Son of God shouts, "It is finished," surely they knew, as the centurion confessed, this man was the Son of God. And what about you? Have you ever shrunk back from your faith in a public setting to not be considered an outcast? Have you ever tried to let sinful things in your life go on and just ignore them so you didn't have to deal with the consequences? Have you ever wanted to just forget about certain things that Jesus says in his word so that your flesh can do the thing it so badly wants to do? Have you ever gotten distracted by secondary or tertiary aspects of church life so you can justify in your heart your lack of true devotion to Christ and his word? Have you ever been more worried about what the church looks like to outsiders than worried about how faithful it is being in doctrine and practice and just letting the chips fall where they may? Of course you have. I have done all those things. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. If we were not sinners, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross in the first place. And it is our sin, yours and mine, and all the sons and daughters of Adam, who put him on that cross, this Jesus whom you crucified. The thing is, when we talk around or speak indirectly about Jesus and his word, when we try and distract ourselves from the real sins and the real law and the real gospel that Jesus presents us with, it is always a spiritual problem. Everything is spiritual. The guards struck Jesus not because Jesus talked back to the high priest, but because he hated God in his heart. Pilate, albeit begrudgingly, allowing Jesus to be crucified is because He did not fully trust in God's providence, that if he would have put a stop to it, God would have provided for him. The crowds calling out for Jesus to die is because they wanted to justify themselves and make their consciences feel better. The soldiers carried out the work of the crucifixion because they refused to know the love of God and his mercy. And when we still sin today, it is always a spiritual problem. Don't try and make it into something practical or psychological or emotional. It is spiritual. Don't try and make it into something biological or something that can be easily excused, putting it off onto other people. It is spiritual. It is the old man in us rebelling against our Creator. Everything is spiritual. Today is spiritual. What's amazing about the crucifixion of Christ is that God used all these various parties who would not outrightly say what was happening, who would only talk around it. He used that, and those wicked people, and some faithful ones too, for the salvation of you. What man meant for evil, God meant for good, to bring about the salvation of many. For in the wickedness and the excuses and all the rest of it that we see at the cross, God was showing his great compassion, his gut-wrenching compassion for the world. For in that cross, Jesus took away the guilt of sin. Yes, even your sins of weakness and laziness and disregard and distraction. He took away all your self-justifications. And he died with all of those sins and all the rest of the sins of the world there on the cross 2,000 some odd years ago, this very day. And he took the death that you deserved and the wrath of God that you deserved because of your wickedness and received it in his body there on the tree. And when the soldiers pierced him, out came blood, the blood that takes away the sin of the world, and water that washes you in your baptism. Behold, the life-giving cross upon which hung the salvation of the world. Amen.
Amen.